Amen. Thank you, Kelsey. Praise God. Yes. Well, that was cool. I would just like to hear more stories, right? Tell us some more. What was happening at that camp? That's so cool. Because it's everything that, what you're talking about at camp, it's everything that God wants to do with all of us. I mean, come on, folks. We're campers. And we're not sure if we're worth it. And a lot of us have had things that happen to us that keep us from being able to understand and appreciate the reality of God's love and how real it is. We're little B, right? And we're all to see Katrine ministered to by Nancy Schneider, who then sees a documentary and God does this, and others joined and bring it in and together, and now it's being released into these little kids' lives. Praise God. This is a picture of the gospel. This is a picture of what we're here for. This is the purpose of the church. All of us are little B, and we got to go find the other little Bs and buzz together. And see God glorified. This is so cool, and it's so much of what God put on my heart for this week. And I want to say thank you to Daryl Neal, first of all, because last week while he was preaching, that's when God started to download my sermon for this week. And so I was taking notes furiously, and he said, I saw you taking a lot of notes. I said, I'm sorry, Daryl, it was not on your sermon. So I just want to be honest about that right now. However, it was during his sermon and something that he was showing us that it was like, this is it. And God started just like, I think, I was hoping, keep going, Daryl, keep going, because my sermon's not done. So keep talking. But that's when it started, and it was when Daryl had read to us from the book of Acts, and he was reading, because he was talking about elders and the concept of elders and what do they do and how does that function in the church, and because we're looking at that as our future. We are going to develop elders in our church, and we're going to go forward in a different kind of structural organization, keeping the same structure that we have now, but adding this to it. And so he was talking about that and teaching on that, which he did an excellent job, what I heard. But I was listening. But he came to Acts chapter 20 in verse 28, and Paul is talking to the elders. So we're trying to figure out, okay, what are elders and what do they do and what role do they play and what did it look like? And so we get this example here that of the elders of the church in, Ephesus. And they're all together. And Paul says this. He says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock. And I like that imagery, right? Like shifting from church to flock. It gives us a different sense, a slightly different feel. Okay, we've got the church, right? And we know what church is all about. But what about a flock? And it gives us a different feeling. He said, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. In other words, this wasn't something that they were striving for or competing for or getting qualified. Holy Spirit did it. Okay, so Holy Spirit made them overseers. That's that word that we relate to, because that word actually is translated as bishops, but we use that also as elders or presbyters. There's a lot of interchanging of the words here in the scriptures. But it says, be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Elders, be shepherds. And that's the point at which I went off, and it was just like, ding, and it's like, I don't know what Daryl said after that, but I'm sure it was good. Okay? And if that happens to you this morning and you get something and you just want to go off on it, go off on it. Just take your notes and say, God, I don't know what Tom's talking about, but this is where the Holy Spirit's taking me right now. But it was like shepherds, and I just heard the Lord say, and when it comes to eldering or pastoring or anything else or the church in general, it is, Tom, it's all about the shepherding. It's all about the shepherding. All of it. And so I started to think, okay, here's the first thought that I had, was this banner right here, which wasn't here last week. Roberta, you're a week late. No, you're always right on time. And it was like, the Lord is my shepherd. And it's like, oh, man, where does that start? Where does that start? And I got back into Genesis. This was later. I didn't do this while I was sitting in my seat. But I got back in Genesis where Jacob is praying a blessing over his sons on his deathbed. He's going to die, and he wants to release a blessing over them. And he says, in the name of my God, who has been my shepherd all my life. And then jumped up to Samuel where David was being anointed, and Samuel the prophet said, and you will be Israel's shepherd. The king will be a shepherd. And it's that king who was the shepherd over Israel who wrote these words, who said in his own heart, I may be the shepherd of Israel, but the Lord is my shepherd, and I lack nothing. There is no thing that I need for my soul at the end of my life to be able to say, it is well with my soul. I lack nothing in order to get me to that point. I will never lack anything. My shepherd will always provide me everything that I need so that I can continue to say, it is well with my soul until the day that I see him. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And then as we go on in the Old Testament, in the scriptures, we see in Isaiah 40, God is starting to talk about himself as a shepherd. And in Isaiah 40, the prophet says, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. Do you see this picture? This is the picture of God. Creator God, Almighty God, in the beginning was God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He carries them close to his heart. Do you see that? He says he gathers his lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. And then he gets into Ezekiel, and Ezekiel, the leaders of Israel, aren't doing what they ought, and he calls them out on that, and he says, I myself will tend my sheep. I myself will have them lie down. I will search for the lost. I will bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and I will make sure that little B gets to camp. Do you see what he's saying? You see how God is portraying himself? Now, there are the times when God gives other dimensions of himself because he's multidimensional, right? And you have to put them all together. But this is a consistent and strong and beautiful dimension of God, that he is the Almighty God who holds you close to his heart and tends to the injured. Right? Tends to the injured and goes out looking for the strays to bring them home. This is the church. This is the church. This is a picture of the church. This is what we ought to be. This is our God. This is our God. And then when Jesus comes in human flesh to be amongst us, he says, I am the good shepherd. Right? I am the good shepherd. Look, it's me. I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his flock. Wow. And that's exactly what he did. How good is this shepherd? How good is this shepherd? Is he that good? Would he actually lay? We sang that this morning about Jesus laid down his life. And it's like he laid down his life. You know, they talk about the shepherd pen, and they've got the sheep pen or whatever, and it's got one opening, and the shepherd would lay down there at night at the opening so that nothing could come across. Except that it would have to come across him. Then he would be the first defense. Jesus says, I lay down my life for the sake of my flock. And that's each of us individually. And he defines himself as that. And he says, and listen to this. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He calls, now listen, he doesn't say, sheepies. I was going to whistle, but I couldn't. It's like, come on, y'all come. Bah, come on. He says, Micah. He says, Joel. He says, Barb. And the sheep hear his voice and know it's his voice. I had a huge privilege and honor. It was difficult. Of being with a family, watching Jesus shepherd them over the last few days. There was a woman that was in the Glassford Church. Her name is Sharon Young. And she was dying in hospice. She's 93 years old. I had been her pastor for 6 years, and she was an amazing and wonderful woman of God, like so many people are here. And her son came to say goodbye to her in hospice. On his way home, he was in a head-on collision and died. And he was my age. And so the family, and she died then 2 days later. So the family is dealing with grief on two levels, right? One was a 93-year-old saintly woman who was just, beautiful. And then the brother, who was an awesome Christian guy, and they think maybe he had a seizure on his way home while he was driving, and that's what caused the accident. But here's what happened. I watched as Jesus brought this family together and began to minister to them. And I watched how Jesus could do something. Like, you don't know how is this going to feel? Like, we're talking about grief on two different levels all at the same time. How do you deal with that, right? But I just watched as God started using his presence in the room to start ministering and to start reminding them that he was real. And it was like, God, I'm seeing something holy take place here. Like, God, you are putting your arms around these people, and you are holding them, and you are carrying them. And I watched it take place, and it was like, God. And then the day of the funeral, it's a double funeral, right? So that was Friday, and as I was in the room, it was like, God is here. Praise God, I could feel it. God is here. What that means is the shepherd's here, and the shepherd is taking care of his flock. It was awesome. And here's something that happened. I heard that Sharon, the woman who died in hospice, years ago, she was in the hospital, and she felt Jesus come into the room. And when Jesus came into the room, he said to her, "Not yet, Sharon." And so every year after that, she says, "I'm living in the not yet. And I'm thanking God for the not yet." But she said, that wasn't the thing that blessed me. What blessed me was that he said, "Sharon." He didn't just hear a voice saying, "Not yet." He said, "Not yet, Sharon." Like, when you do that, when you hear the shepherd and the shepherd says, "Not yet, Sharon," there's a familiarity there, there's an understanding there, there's an implication that you're mine, Sharon. You're mine. I'm talking to you. It's not yet, Sharon. Right? I had a similar experience to that years ago, and I won't go into the details of that, but the thing was that I heard a voice that was unlike anything I'd ever heard in any time before that or since. And it was a voice that I know was the voice of God, and he said, "I'm with you, Tom." And similarly, the thing that stood out the most for me was that he said, "Tom." There's something about it. There's something powerful about it. And it reminds me in John 20, when Mary Magdalene was in the garden, and she was talking to the gardener, and the gardener in the garden tomb on Easter morning was saying, "What are you so sad about?" And she said, "Oh, because they've taken my sin." She was talking to Jesus and could not recognize him. She was so grieved and all this stuff, and she could, and all of a sudden, then what he says, "Mary, what? Rabbi, it's you." He said her name. And I think this is so beautiful. When Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," and then he goes on to say, he calls his sheep by name and leads them out, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And that's what he's doing. He's doing that with all of us. He's calling us out. He's calling us by name. He knows your name, dear ones. He knows your name. Do you understand this? He says, "Nolan, Matthias, Melissa," right? This is, he's a personal God. "Cynthia, he knows your name." Wow. And now watch what he does. Okay, watch what he does with this, because something's going to shift here, but it's really cool and it's really important, and it happens in the end of his life after he's resurrected and he's on the lake. And Peter comes walking over to him in John 20 and John 21. And he says, "Peter, do you love me?" Right? Randy? You know, Jesus would say, "Randy, do you love me?" Right? Bethany? He would say, "Do you love me?" And we would say, "Well, yes. Yes," right? Who's here to say yes? Right, yes, yes. "Well, then feed my sheep." Do you see where he goes? Do you see the language he goes to? Do you see the image that he wants to leave? Do you see what he's putting Peter in a place of, as he, the good shepherd, the one who Jacob blessed his sons in the name of the shepherd of his life, and David was the shepherd of Israel, and David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd," and Isaiah said that he's going to hold us close to his heart, and this shepherd, that "I am the good shepherd, and I call you by name," and Peter, "I want you to step into my place and shepherd as I shepherd." Right? "Do you love me, Michael?" Good. Jesus says, "Do you love me, Michael?" "Yes, Lord." "Then feed my sheep. Take care." Now, then he does it the second time. "Peter, do you love me?" And yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he says, it says in the NIV, "Take care of my flock." But do you know what the word actually is? The word actually is shepherd. And it's a verb. It's not a noun. It's a verb. So he's not saying, "Be the shepherd of my flock." He's saying, "Shepherd my flock, Peter." So what God is doing, you guys, what God is doing is he's inviting us to go beyond being little B to being a counselor. And he's saying, "Take care of my little bees. Because there are other sheep who do not know me yet. And I will need you to be the shepherding person in their lives to shepherd them into the place where you are. You know Jesus. You know him. You know his love. You know he calls you by your name. And there are people who don't know that. There are people who are still feeling like they're sitting in a box on the side of the road. And in some senses, they are, until they have come home to the Good Shepherd, who can bring them off the road and into a place of care and feed them good food. And so the transition is taking place of the, you know, Yahweh God, creator God of the universe, who is my shepherd, is also on the earth in Jesus of Nazareth, shepherding his flock, and now turning it over to those who are his sheep to shepherd others. And this is where Daryl's message was, Acts 20:28, elders be shepherds. Elders be shepherds. That's the point. The point is, be Jesus. Look, guys, we can have all the greatest structures in the world that follow all the rules and the policy and the bylaws, right? But if we have not love, they are worthless. And if we're not shepherding, then we're just running an organization. And that's not what we came here for, is it? We didn't come here to be part of an organization. Lord knows we've got other things to do, right? We came to be part of the purpose of the creation of the universe. We came here to step into our place as to why we were created. Why are we even here? What is the purpose of my life? What do you want from me, God? Is there a God? Yes, yes, yes. And it's all about shepherding people into that relationship where you can hear him call your name and feel his shepherding presence and be fed and be nourished by the food that he gives us to feed the flock. And that's where we come back to the whole concept. And that's what I want. I want to lay this layer down into the whole discussion of eldering. Right? I want to lay this layer on it. I want to, you know, we're going to talk about what are the qualifications, what do they do, how do they do it. But if we don't have this, we're just talking about stuff. We're just talking job descriptions. We're just talking, right? How do you organize for efficiency and effectiveness? And that starts sounding like a business, and we are not. So unless we embed this layer into every discussion that we have, all of the shifting of any kind of church structure is always for the purpose of making it more efficient and more effective to shepherd the flock. Okay? And how do we do that? And how do we structure ourselves for that? And that is an important discussion, but it's not even worth having if we don't understand what the ultimate goal is and what Jesus intended when he said through Paul to those elders, elders be shepherds. He said it again in 1 Peter. Speaking of Peter, Peter's the guy that Jesus said, shepherd the flock, right? If you love me, shepherd the flock. And then he writes later in his life, as an older man, he writes, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, be shepherds. So there we go again, right? Elders, be shepherds. Because if you forget this, and if you stop doing that, I don't know what you are. You've got a title, but you're not functioning in the spirit. And I'll tell you another thing. Bradley Epworth has always had elders. We have never not had elders. We didn't call them that. We didn't give them a title for that. But people have been eldering in this church since I stepped into this church, and I've seen it, and I've watched it. And there are people who are eldering right now all through this congregation. There is shepherding taking place all over you guys. You watch it happen. You watch it as it unfolds. It's beautiful and it's wonderful because God doesn't need a structure in order for him to release the gifts. Okay? The gifts aren't dependent on structure. Say, well, you guys didn't have elders, so I didn't anoint anybody to do that. Actually, it's the other way around. He says, I anointed all sorts of people to do that, and you never even recognized it. That's right? That's the reality. And it's always been here. And I praise God for that. I watched this family as they shepherded each other and as others shepherded them. The pastor of the man who died in the accident, the brother, son and brother, that pastor came along and he was awesome. He was wonderful. He was able to speak to the relationship this man had with Jesus. And other people came along and somebody shared some stuff about this and that. And the family said the granddaughters had written to me things about their grandma so that I was able to, you know, pull from that and help everybody see how her effect had been throughout the whole. And there was just a blessing and a healing. It was like, God, you're just so good. That's all I kept saying. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. Look at how you take care of your people. All right. So it goes, there's one more, it doesn't stop here, okay? It doesn't stop at this point. You see, Daryl, keep preaching, okay? Because I got stuff to say. And he did. He just kept going. It's like, Daryl. No, actually, he stopped. You were really good last week. You were right on time. But the other part of this takes place in Ephesians chapter 4. And that's where, that's where we see the purpose being displayed a little bit here. It says that Jesus, Jesus apportioned grace. Now, that's an interesting term. He apportioned grace. He distributed grace. He distributed graces. Like he said, okay, for Barb Kleckner, I'm going to distribute this grace. But over here for Kelsey, I'm going to distribute this grace. And if Barb thinks that Kelsey's grace is the one that she's supposed to have, and Kelsey thinks it doesn't work, right? We have to find what the grace was that God distributed to us and operate in that grace, because that's going to be the place of our greatest joy. Our greatest joy will be to know the grace that God apportioned to us and operate in that. And so he begins to talk about different ways that it was apportioned. And this is where we get to the elders, the leaders, pastors, whatever we want to call them, because really, pastor is a word for shepherd. And so all the elders are pastors. And overseers, the word is bishops, so all of them are bishops. And so bishop, pastor, elder, overseer, that's the title. and it's all, but it's all, you know, it's not like, it's so, it's like, okay, God, you have a, you what you're doing is you're saying we need leadership. And Christ has apportioned giftings for leadership, and he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. So we've got these different leadership roles, right? So when we go to Royal Family Kids Camp, somebody's got to lead, right? Somebody's got to lead. It's just the way it works. Otherwise, it's not going to be efficient. It's going to be chaotic. And the same thing is true in the church. Things have to happen like that. We've got to have that kind of organization. But always to the end that we are shepherding the flock. Now, here's the cool thing, you guys. He gives those gifts, and he apportions that grace of leadership to do something, to prepare God's people, to prepare the whole flock, to prepare everybody. The point of leadership isn't to be leading. The point of leadership is to be lifting up everyone to get into their giftings. That's the point of leadership. Leadership's not a privileged position. It's a servanthood role where we serve everyone else to do the works of God. Because this is to his glory. Oh, my goodness. Hebrews has a beautiful way of saying this. Hebrews 13:20. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. This is all about the glory of God. This is all about the glory of God. Everything, as Kelsey read this morning, everything was created for him, through him, and to him. Everything is about him. He is preeminent in all things. It's all about Jesus, and he's the good shepherd, and we're his flock, and he's giving us leadership in order to have gifts and raise up the gifts of the whole body to see the body take care of itself and shepherd and bring in the strays, bring in the people in the boxes on the side of the road. Feed them good food. Feed them good food, physically and spiritually, right? This is good food. This is good food. We've got to have good food. And we've got to grow up and we've got to mature. Because what? Look what's going to happen. We're not done yet. I got one more thing here. To be pastors, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ, the flock of God, his flock, will be built up until all reach unity in the faith. What happens, you guys, if all of us grow closer and closer to Jesus, will we get closer to each other or further apart? Obviously, right? There's a point up here, and we're all like heading up to it. If we're all getting closer to Jesus, if we're all growing in the knowledge of God and the unity, then we're all going to get closer together, and we're all going to be operating in a way that is in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. We will become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I want to be in a community that is attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Why not? I could be in a community that attains to 50% of the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, and that's, yeah, right. But if I'm going to spend my time in a community, in a Jesus community, if I'm going to spend my time in a church, right? I want one that's going to at least is trying and seeing and moving toward attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Because that will most glorify him. And that will most effectively bring in the lost lambs, and most effectively feed the lost lambs, and most effectively make them now shepherds to shepherd others too. What a beautiful picture. That's the picture God wants us to have. That's why he gave it to us. He gave us this picture, and he started it by saying there's going to be different roles that people are going to play. I'm going to give you grace to play those roles out, right? Listen, I'm Tom Eckhart, and I, you know, grew up in Southern California, and I was worth nothing really as a teenager. So, I mean, you know, there wasn't that much there. But, you know, Jesus saved me, and I was a Jesus freak, and I'm going to still be a Jesus freak till the day I die. Hallelujah, praise God. But my place and my joy and my glory and my purpose is within the community of Jesus. To see Jesus glorified. I want to see him glorified. I want my life to glorify him. And so, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Oh my goodness, isn't that everywhere? But instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. And from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Everyone, we are going to join our hearts together. We are going to organize ourselves for a purpose. And the purpose is to release every single one of you in the giftings and the graces that God has apportioned to you. To find out what they are. To find out how to use them. To give you the freedom to do so. And to celebrate you and encourage you and keep you going in the expression and the use of the gift and the grace that God has given you. That's the picture. And the picture is little bees coming in on a regular basis. And the picture is all of us seeing them in the end, doing spiritual push-ups and experiencing joy and being activated as a child of God. That's it. That's the picture. That's why we're doing this. That's why we're looking at elders. That's why we're looking at the whole system, because we want to see Ephesians 4 come to life. We want to see that picture, and we want to do whatever we can do in order to see that happen and to see that take place in all of us. Now, there's a couple of things I want to do here this morning, and one is I want to celebrate that Kristen is here with us today. And Kristen is someone we have been praying for, we've been contending for, we have been, and Kristen, I'm sorry. I saved this for last.
Thank you.
Yeah, but I just wanted to say Kristen's here, and you've been here before, but I wasn't here, right? Yeah, but I'm just so thrilled. I'm so thrilled because, when we got that news the first time, it really, was... Yes, it was hard, and it knocked everybody out, and you and your family, and what are we going to do, and how is this going to happen? And here you are, Kristen. Yeah, praise God. Yeah, so I'm going to ask some people to just kind of turn around and put your hand on Kristen, because we're going to pray healing over her, because this is one of the gifts of the body, and this is what we've been contending for, and she's right here with us now. We've been doing it just, pray for Kristen, but she's here. We want to.
And I feel these prayers too, I do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All of you.
She says she feels the prayers, and she wanted to say thank you to all of us. So, Father God, right now we ask you to release your healing. Just continue. You've released your healing on her, and we want to thank you for that. We want to thank you, God, for the healing that has come to her. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, and we just pray, God, that you just continue to watch over her, bless her, protect her, and continue the amazing, miraculous, seriously, miraculous healing that has taken place. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. Thank you for Kristen. Bless her, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Keep going. And we have Ken Hubbard with us this morning, and I'm so celebrating Ken being with us this morning. And just praising God for Ken and Sandy. You know, they come as a package deal, and the whole family. But Jesus, right now, let just turn around, everyone, and you guys put your hands on Ken, Matt. Go ahead and Jesus, continue your healing grace in Ken's body and life. We thank you, God, that the cancer has been arrested. Is that right, Danielle? Is that the word you used this morning?
It's under control.
It's under control. And we thank you for that. We thank you, God. We thank you that you put your hand on him and did that. And for any other things that are going on, God, as a result of that and the chemotherapy and the new therapy and all of these things, Jesus, you are Ken's shepherd. You are Ken's shepherd. And we just pray, Jesus, that you hold this little lamb close to you. And as you continue to bring healing and strength into his body, we give you the glory and we thank you for it. And we acknowledge that this man has been touched by God. And it's a miracle also. We have two miracles sitting in our room this morning. And we want to give you the praise and the glory for that, God. You are a God of miracles. And we just pray, God, protection and blessing as the miracle continues to take shape and form and be in their hearts and their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Yeah, that's good. Wyatt and Cheyenne, I know you probably thought the last thing that you would have as you visited our church this morning was have somebody pray for you. But I'm going to point you out as a newly engaged couple. I baptized this little guy. Huh? Long time ago, Wyatt. It was a long time ago. This is his mom. But thank you for being here with us today. And I just want to say a prayer for you too, okay? Jesus, thank you for Wyatt and Cheyenne. Thank you for what you have planned for their lives. God, I thank you that their two journeys have become walking alongside each other now, and that they intend, God, to commit themselves to you and to each other for the rest of their lives. And so, God, I pray that you bless that. I pray that you help them to shape their hearts and form their hearts to be like you for each other during this engagement time. And God, I just pray that they feel your presence and as they walk with you every day, that you bless them and that you protect them and that you lead them to that place where they will thrive and they will bring you glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You bet. Now last week, sweetie, you want to come on up? in case you're visiting, I can call her sweetie. It's okay. A little too friendly in that church. I know what I want to do. We think of 90-minute time. I want you to sit here, and I want you to bathe in the truth of Psalm 23. Would you just sit and meditate on this for a moment? I'm going to read it, okay? So as Vicky worships over us, then I'm just going to read this and let this soak in, because the most important thing about this is that we own this for ourselves and we understand that this is the truth of the Word of God. So this is just a little bit of food I want to toss out to you this morning. So just go ahead. You can close your eyes, or you can just look up at the banners or whatever. But Lord, you're my shepherd. You are my shepherd. And I don't lack anything for my soul to thrive. Because you have actually made me lie down in green pastures. You've led me to these beautiful places of delicious food for my soul. And you say, lie down here and eat of this. And you have led me beside still waters. You've led me beside the waters, the living waters. God, you've brought me to where I can drink living water, which is your Spirit. You give restoration. When my soul is weary, you restore it. You revive my soul. And you have guided me, and you do guide me, and you will guide me in the paths of righteousness, walking with you, walking according to how you planned it for me, walking according to the grace that you've given to me for the sake of your name. And this will all be for the glory of your name. You guide me in ways that I can live in joyous contentment, and you will be glorified. And even though all of us will walk through difficult places, all of us will face difficult things, all of us will walk through the valleys of the darkness and the shadows of death, we are not afraid of the evil one, because you're walking right alongside of me. And you have a rod and a staff and an authority that cannot be overwhelmed. And that comforts me. And you prepare a table before me of goodness and grace. You bring me good things. You bring me grace right in front of the enemy. And he can't touch me. And you anoint my head with oil. You anoint me. You anoint me. You anoint me for your purposes, God. And the cup that is mine, it's overflowing. And truthfully, there will never be a day of my life that goodness isn't there somewhere. And there will never be a day of my life where the mercy of God hasn't followed me to wherever I went. And the end of it all shall be that I will dwell with you in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, Jesus.
Love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me, and all my days I've been held.
all stand. Thank you, Shepherd. Thank you, Shepherd. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, for your shepherding love. And thank you that you've called us to join you in extending that shepherding love to those who do not know it and those who need to be fed and restored by the good food of your love and your truth. Jesus, I hear you asking, do you love me? Then feed my flock and take care of my sheep. Be shepherds. Thank you, Jesus. I feel like there's somebody here who really feels like they want to give their life to Jesus today in a way they hadn't before. They hadn't thought of it this way before. Or they had, or just take a deeper walk. And so if that's you and you're thinking that right now, I just want to affirm that. If that thought is in your head, yes, that's from God. And he wants you to follow through on that. He wants you to bring you into the sheepfold so he can care for you. So Jesus, thank you for always wanting us and always wanting to partner with us and always wanting to bless us, shepherd us, and hold us close to your heart. We pray, God, that the confidence of that goes with us, that confidence of your love protects us, that our understanding of who we are, that you know our name, will go with us from here into everything that we do and everything that we face in the week to come, and that your blessing will rest over us because we know that our shepherd is with us and loves us, calls us by name. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.